What decisions would you be making in your life if you weren't afraid? And how do we manage fear in such a way as not to let it actually have a hold on us and keep us from achieving the things that we want in our life? That's what we're talking about today on the Conscious Success Podcast, where we teach you how to master your mind, enhance your health, and expand your wealth. I'm your host, Madhu. Let's jump right on in. The first step in understanding how to manage fear in a way that it doesn't take you down is understanding where it actually comes from. What I like to say often, and I'm going to say this very clearly to you, my friends, it's likely you do not have a mindset problem, but rather you have a story problem. You have a narrative problem, because the idea of fear, it comes from a belief of something that hasn't happened yet, just like its opposite, which is faith. Yes, that's right. Faith is the opposite of fear. Faith comes from believing in something that maybe has not actually happened yet. All of these things come from beliefs. In other words, there's a narrative, there's a story that you believe, either you put it there or someone else put it there, and you allowed it to grow and you allowed it to latch deep into your subconscious mind. And from those belief patterns, you've created a particular type of concocted reality. It's not necessarily that these things are real or not real. It's just that you believe them. AKA, there's a story in there. So we're talking about first with managing fears, how to actually rewrite the story in our minds and believe the things we actually want to believe in. Because believe it or not, pun intended, we have so many of these beliefs that are deep, deep into our consciousness, primarily in our subconscious mind, that are acting without our acknowledgement. There's so many things that happen on a background. Let's say if we're talking about a software of the brain, there's things that are happening in the background that you don't even know are necessarily there, or you at least haven't acknowledged it consciously. Our first step in managing fear is really identifying, what are those beliefs? What are the things I actually believe to be true? And how do I work them to the closest version of what I actually logically understand them to be? And then we can actually talk about faith versus fear, which is the other principle I want to introduce here before we jump into this topic. Is sometimes we think that doubt is the opposite of faith, but it's not. Doubt and faith can be best friends. And realistically, in order to have healthy amounts of faith and not have blind faith, you need to have some level of doubt. You need to actually look at things with a scrutinizing eye. So the opposite of faith is not doubt, but rather it is fear. And moment to moment, we are making choices either based off of faith or based off of fear. And frankly, both things at the same time. And if you say, oh, Madhu, what do you mean faith? Well, you have the faith that your car isn't just going to fall apart as you're driving it. And that's why you get in. You have faith that your roof is not going to fall on your head while you're sleeping. You have faith in the glass not breaking as you drink out of it. All these things are small versions of what you have faith in. In the same way as you might have fear in any of those things. You might feel unsafe because you don't actually have a strong roof above your head or whatever the case might be. We'll give you some examples here in a minute. We're constantly choosing faith or fear at any moment. And interestingly enough, you're choosing faith more than you're choosing fear, whether you acknowledge it or not. An example might be you have faith your phone's not going to explode in your hand and cause you third-degree burns or shock you electrically. You have faith that when you're eating food, it's not contaminated with any poison. We're going through life with faith, second to second. So when we find areas where this faith isn't being present and it's opposite, fear is being present, that gives us a pretty good indication of, let's say, that story that's going on. So two things here. We have to understand that first, before we're going to talk about change your mindsets, we got to change the story, the narrative, what you actually believe to be true. And then we have to figure out, how do we manage this balance between faith and fear at all times? And ultimately, that third step is, how do I make that a conscious decision so that I'm not just driven by my default programming, by my subconscious programming to just act and go through life like an NPC, as they say, just like a robot, not actually making conscious, deliberate, considered decisions. So let's first get into this idea of narrative or story. Whatever you say or think is true to your brain. Whatever information you're constantly putting into your brain, especially the stuff that you think on a repeated basis and that you repeat outside of your mind, out of your mouth, what to speak of the things you actually do with your body. That's what tells your brain, or let's say that's what informs your brain of quote unquote reality. You are what you think and say out loud without any exception. And therefore, whatever story you believe yourself to be, your brain is going to find evidence to validate that, to prove that, or you're going to find proof for it. And that's why you might have found in your life, I know I certainly have, circumstances where you have a strong desire, a strong goal to achieve something. Let's say the cliche of, I want to lose weight. Hey, your goal, all you want to do is lose weight, but somehow you can't ever seem to do it. And you might even find yourself saying things like, oh, I'll never be able to lose that weight. I've already tried. I don't have the body type for it, or whatever nonsense you might have convinced yourself of. Well, guess what? If you tell yourself you're never going to lose that weight, you can be damn sure you're not going to lose that weight, at least not voluntarily. Because the beliefs that you present into your mind are going to craft what you can actually understand to be true. Because if you believe, either on a conscious or unconscious platform of the mind, that you will never be skinny, then of course your mind's going to try to find evidence to that. And everything you see, I told you I was never able to be skinny. I told you I was never able to lose that weight. Just see. You're going to find all these quote unquote valid excuses or reasons why you're not doing that. And it's because on some level, you believe yourself to be the type of person that doesn't lose weight. So whatever that particular story is, based off a belief that you have, that you repeat either internally or even worse, externally, say it outside of that beautiful mouth of yours, that is what's creating your reality from moment to moment. So the most important thing for us to do when we're talking about managing fear is starting to rewrite the script in the brain. Interestingly enough, I teach this with marketing all the time, that marketing is changing the story in other people's minds. And that's what creates these type of epiphanies or these types of shifts that make people go, oh, that's right. I do want this product. I do want this service. I do want this help. It's because what a good marketer does is they reprogram the script in someone's mind as to help them change their belief. Because if you change the story, you change your belief. Now, there's no need to go get a marketing degree to understand this. Rather, your job is to market these ideas to your first conscious mind, and then eventually it'll seep into your subconscious mind. It'll become default. And again, if you're not familiar with these terms, please go check out other episodes where we go quite in depth to the conscious and subconscious mind. But to give it to you in short, every time you get in the car to drive, you're not necessarily having to think, okay, first, now I sit here, now I plug in my seatbelt, and then I got to shift into reverse, and now I got to ease off the brake, now I got to press the gas. It happens on autopilot. It's second nature, as they say. Why? Because you've done it enough times that it's now part of your subconscious mind. Most things are like this, brushing your teeth to the way that you eat, even the way you hold a pencil. Most things going on in your life, they're just part of you. They're part of your default programming system, per se. What I am suggesting we do is we have to first bring in the narrative we want, bring in the story that we actually, quote unquote, believe to be true into the conscious mind, into the part of us that's discerning, deliberate, that's actually paying attention to the thing, not just going on autopilot. And if we do that enough times, eventually it becomes, as they say, second nature or just part of you. So what is the story that you want going on a rerun? What are the base level beliefs that you actually want to hold true? Figure those things out before we even talk about managing the fear. And sometimes the way to do that is, what am I afraid of? And so what is it that I want? So if you're afraid of posting yourself on social media, like why? What is the purpose for that? Oh, it feels vulnerable and I don't want to be judged. All right, why don't you want to be judged? And in this way, you can explore the idea around the fear. And I encourage you to ask yourself these questions of why? Why? But more importantly is to get the data to understand that positive what you do want. So if what you don't want is to feel criticized, if what you don't want is to feel unsupported, or fill in the blank, like what is it that you actually do want? We always got to put it into the positive. An example of what that might look like is, if you don't want to post on social media with your face in it because you're afraid that you won't feel accepted. You'll be criticized and you won't feel accepted. So then what is it that I want? I want to feel accepted. I want to feel validated. Now, this is not a place for judgment. This is for your own exploration. We could talk another time of how to improve our quality of desires. And that is a very worthy conversation to have. and we have a lot of content around that we'll be sharing. We have shared a little bit, we will be sharing more, is how do we actually improve the quality of our desires? But we're not even there yet. Let's just get in touch with our desires, because you can't purify desire if you don't know what that desire is to begin with. What is it that I actually want to be true here? If what I don't want, again, is to feel unaccepted, the desire is to feel accepted. So we have to first identify what belief we want to put into the mind. An example might be, the more I put myself out there, the more I will be accepted by the people I want to accept me. The more I put myself out there, we're talking about this example, social media, the more I post my face on social media, the more I will be accepted by high quality individuals. The more I will be approached by my ideal clientele, the more I will attract a high quality partner into my life, or whatever it might be. Step number one is put in the belief you actually want to be true. Because here's the thing is, do you know if those things, those beliefs are real or not? Most of them, no. Most of them, they're not verifiable. They're coming from some unconscious narrative. So if you don't even know they're true or not, and you can't validate or verify, why would you not choose the option that's actually going to empower you, move you closer to your dreams? You're not going to know which one's true anyway. There's rarely even a direct correlation. So your job is to put in, you have to plant the seed that you want to grow. So place in the belief that you want to be true, first and foremost, the opposite of the fear. Put it into the positive. Don't talk about what you don't want. Let's talk about what you do want. And then let's create a narrative around that. Find some evidence for that. It's going to be easy once you believe it. Now, again, when you transition from a thought you've had from 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, whatever the time might be, it's going to take a little bit of time and practice to come back to this. But we still want to spend time in the logical space looking at this new belief. If the example is, the more I post pictures of my face on social media, the more I will attract like-minded friends that will support me. As an example, if that's the belief I want to be putting into my brain, then what evidence do I have to find that to be true? And your mind might tell you, there is no evidence. No, there's nothing you can do. Right, shut up, mind. Take a deep breath. Shake it off. Go put some cold water in your face. Shake it off. Come back and think about it. I'm not interested in you entertaining every little whiny thought comes to mind. Well, if you're like me, you got a lot of whiny thoughts coming to your mind. So if any thoughts like that come in, we just check that thought. We say, we're going to come back to you. You just, let's put a little pin in that thought. You stay there. And I actually want you to find some real evidence. Like, what is some evidence for this idea to be true? Well, okay, the evidence is that if I post my face, you know, people that are like-minded, only like-minded people would engage with my content. So I guess, you know, that part does make sense. And, you know, if they're engaging with my content, that means they're going to get to know, like, and trust me over time. And it creates an opportunity for some connection and friendship. And with that connection and friendship, you know, if people don't really resonate with my content and my face, then that's cool too. I know they're not really a fit. They're not meant to be my friend. And in this way, do some logical assessment of why the belief you want to be true is true. Just like you can do this for the fear, the thing you don't actually want to believe that's deep rooted into your mind. So again, step one is identify the belief you actually want, the real narrative, and, well, let's say the real belief, and then build a narrative around that. Fortify yourself. Don't just randomly, blindly choose things. Blind faith and blind fear are equally as destructive. We're not interested in either of those. We don't want blind faith, blind doubt, or blind fear. If you've ever considered having a podcast, especially if you're expert at what you do, I cannot suggest more highly using Podigy's service, which is what we use. If you like this production here, I highly suggest you reach out to Podigy through their contact in the show notes below to run and host your podcast. I went through a bunch of different teams, tried a bunch of different things. No one came close to what I got post-production from Podigy. And even just making a launch easy, taking your content, sharing it, making it presentable, please check out Podigy. If you're great at what you do and you've ever considered having a podcast, I really am excited for you to try them out as well. We want reasonable fears. We want reasonable doubts. We want reasonable faith. So that means you got to bring some reason into it. You got to sit some time, think it through, ChatGPT your way to an answer. If your mind fights you so much, what are all the ways
that me posting my face on social media will attract the right like-minded friends in my life. Enter. Here are all the ways. Whatever means you got to do it, if you got to get some help, get someone else, get a friend, get a mentor that can help hold some space for identifying these, get the belief and then build a narrative around it. That's step number one. Once we have that in place, it's just a matter of coming back to it. It's catching yourself whenever the other old belief comes up. Is you just simply stop it. You spot it, you acknowledge it, and you swap it. And you say, okay, well, that's a thought I had. I actually don't believe that to be true. What do I believe to be true? Oh, this is the new belief. Yeah, this one makes a lot more sense anyway. And this, neither are necessarily true anyway. Like I don't have empirical science one way or the other that completely refutes the other. So let's just go with the one that seems to make the most sense to allow me to live the fullest life where I can serve, where I can be in a situation to change people's lives. And then we can talk about actually managing and balancing the faith versus the fear. Just to clarify this point, again, doubting something is a sign of intelligence. So if you're spending time in your conscious mind, which you guys are conscious success listeners, which means you must be spending most of your time or a lot of time in your conscious mind, which is beautiful and perfect. When we are there, we're in a discerning space, which means we're going to have reasonable doubts. And of course, unreasonable doubts, which we don't entertain as much. But doubting is a sign of intelligence. We want to doubt ideas, thoughts, and then we want to reconcile them. Now, if you're like, Madhu, all this sounds really hard, I get it. You know what's harder is going your whole life on autopilot. And then you die and what? You got to do it all over again? Womp, womp, rebirth, no thanks. Let's just do it in this life. Let's get the heck out of this. Let's get out of a material body. No thanks. Not interested. Opt out. Unsubscribe. Let's do it in this life. It might be uncomfortable, but that's all right. Choose your hard. Like, which uncomfortable do you want? Do you want the comfort now, but you're going to suffer later? Or do you want a little discomfort now, but you're going to ultimately get more satisfaction, happiness, and purpose in the long run? The way we want to look at this, when we're talking about faith versus fear, is, again, doubt helps the faith. It doesn't necessarily help. It can help the fear, but it doesn't necessarily help it. I want to clarify that there are good things for us to be afraid of. It'd be ridiculous for somebody to say, oh, you should have no fear. You see this. So it's nonsense. Scrolling on TikTok, you know, you just got to become fearless. You know, what is there to fear in this world? A lot. I'm like, I like scorpions, but I'm not going to like get in a fight with them. I'm not going to kiss one on the pointer, whatever the stinger's called. There's a lot of reasonable things to have fear of. If you stand on top of a skyscraper building and you dangle your feet off, like it's called a reasonable fear. So everything you'll notice, we come back to the conscious mind. We got to actually think. We just got to train ourselves to become critical thinkers. I got to train myself. If you resonate, you could do it as well. We practice the idea of actually thinking these things through. And that means there's going to be reasonable faith and there's going to be reasonable fear. And then our job is how do we employ them in a way that's actually controlled, in a way that was actually voluntary. So the fears aren't taking us down, because blind faith, again, equally as destructive as blind fear. Like, why are you afraid of that? I don't know, just some part of it freaks me out. Okay, should we try to work through that? No, I'm terrified, I just can't do it. That's as detrimental as, why do you believe it? I just believe it to be true. What's your evidence? I don't know. Don't do either, you deserve so much better. So what we want to do here is look at where are the areas in our life that actually deserve our faith and where are the areas that deserve our fear. Now, that's a huge topic. Of course, we're not going to go through every single example. However, the principles you can follow to, say, identify the faith versus fear, where do I want to step here? Is this reasonable faith now that I want to have in this situation, in this belief, or is there fear coming up that's actually reasonable? There's some things that are just so commonsensical I don't have to go into. Like, yeah, if you see a rattlesnake on the side of the road, it's like, yeah, I have faith that nothing can hurt me. That's a dumb idea. Just don't have dumb ideas. You gotta think it through. Can nothing hurt you? No, a lot of things can hurt you. A little delicate human body. Gosh, these things are so fragile. Our little human bodies. We're only apex predators, by the way, because of this beautiful prefrontal cortex we have that allows us to have recursive language and have thoughts unlike other living entities out there. It doesn't necessarily make us better, it just makes us stronger in an ultimate sense. But our physical bodies, I mean, most animals could just rip us apart. Like, we are so helpless within these human bodies. If we didn't have a brain which allowed us to create security measures, like, oh man, these bodies are just fragile as anything. So, of course, there's so many things to have reasonable fear of. But our job is to start to identify them and specifically start to create a little internal navigation system for when you find yourself leaning into faith or fear in something that you can't necessarily justify, where you do not have a logical reason for believing that. And you can think of it as an internal navigation system. It's like, you know, these cars, if you start to drift over the lines, they go beep, 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 and you bring back to the center. Or in our case, our Tesla won't even let us, if it starts to drift out, it just auto-corrects. Like, this is the kind of system we want to create in our brain, is that when you let go, if you accidentally let go of the wheel or you start to drift outside of your logical confines, you go, wait a second, is that true? I don't have a good answer for that. And I'm not even saying you have to immediately shift your opinion or belief on the spot. It's more or less you take note and you write it down. And if you can't find an answer, you find someone who can find the answer. Come back to Mr. ChatGPT, know-it-all. Hey, give me a good reason for X, Y, Z, and then play devil's advocate about why this belief might not be true. And then accordingly, in this way, all I offer you here is not necessarily to fix the problem. It's just to bring an awareness to it. I mean, of course, you can fix it through this protocol over time, but just bring an awareness to, like, where do I actually want to employ my reasonable faith and where do I want to employ my reasonable doubt, or excuse me, my reasonable fear. Accordingly, we can create a particular type of fortification around us that's going to allow us to ultimately live not only a conscious life, which is everything you and I talk about here, but ultimately, it's going to allow us to live a life where we're in control. We're not just on autopilot, because that's where so much of the suffering comes from. When we let our nature and our nature's desires just guide us and lead us, that's where most of our suffering comes from. Our job is to stop and say, wait a second, what's going on here? Why do I believe this to be true to begin with? Now, if we're going to the ultimate sense, and which is the third part of this process of navigating fear, and similarly navigating faith. Once you've identified the proper belief that you want, once you've created a narrative around it, once you've brought it into a conscious, deliberate perspective of trying to understand where do I want to employ reasonable faith and reasonable fears, then we start to talk about a type of bigger purpose, which is really important for creating an axiom or some type of foundation to allow these thoughts to permeate through the rest of your life. And that is, like, why even have fear or faith to begin with? Because if there's no purpose to life, then it does make sense to have some fear. Like, just go do whatever you want, whenever you want, and there's no consequences because nothing means anything. And I mean, it's a pretty garbage philosophy, and I'm happy to refute it over and over as many times as you want and listen to other podcasts where we do that over and over. It's a really bad philosophy. However, you're welcome to do that because you're a free agent. You get to do whatever and however you want. But ultimately, if you believe there's some sense of objective morality and there's some sense of right and wrong, then your job is to find a reason for that as well. Like, what is it? When I talk about faith, like, why have faith that the car is not going to break down? And why have faith that I'll be fine no matter what, even though the body is fragile and can get into accidents? Like, what's the purpose of that? Anyway, this is where we go into a spiritual principle. And that is the ancient Vedic perspective, the teachings of this ancient philosophy from the West, or excuse me, from the East, Western philosophy. What a joke. That's another conversation for another time. These ancient philosophical teachings from the East teach us this idea that not only are you a pure spirit soul that has no beginning, no end, you're eternal, and also fully cognizant, you have full awareness, but you're also fully blissful by nature. You have all three aspects: fully blissful, knowing, all-knowing, and frankly, eternal. If we believe this to be true, that means that not only is everything around us happening for us, which we've talked about extensively in past episodes, and I'd love to talk about this over and over and over, not only is everything happening for us, but frankly, it's creating opportunities around us that is frankly allowing us to practice faith or fear. Everything that we're experiencing is an opportunity
to show, like, do I want to practice faith in this situation or do I want to practice fear? Because if we believe it to be true that there is an ultimate source of existence, which the burden of proof is on you if you don't believe that, like, all right, where did you come from? Matter. All right. So if consciousness comes from matter, just go make some consciousness with matter, and then I will happily believe you. Otherwise, we have to believe consciousness is its own element of existence. It is its own separate element aside from the matter that we live within. Assuming the logical understanding of consciousness, which we talk about extensively here, then the idea would be this conscious source of our existence, this divine relationship that we have, is culminated in the practice of us choosing faith over fear. So really what that means is moment to moment, whatever we're practicing, we become more of that. That's just how it is. Whatever muscle you work out gets stronger. So if you work out the fear muscle, of course, that's the one that gets strong, or the faith muscle, that gets strong as well. Our job is to moment, practice a type of divine faith, not just a faith in the matter around me is going to not crumble and kill me, but even going further than that, that there's some sense that we have some divine purpose, some divine reasoning, everything's happening for us. And to the extent that we can, let's say, believe that reality, believe that reality to be true, we can understand that every opportunity we have to choose faith is really an opportunity for us to, like, prove of sorts the desire we have for divine connection. And in other words, if you are in a relationship, or let's just say even a friendship, a romantic partnership, a friendship, whatever it might be, your love is based off of trust. And if you have trust in someone, you have faith in them. It's a similar idea. One might argue it's the exact same idea, trust and faith. I have trust in you that you'll do this. I have faith in you that you'll do this, whatever the case might be. Any relationship requires this type of faith. And therefore, if every time somebody does something, you're in fear and you're you do this, it's a really rough relationship to build. So similarly, if we are practicing having our divine faith or faith that everything is happening for us, that we have a triple OG, divine source of existence, which is all-knowing, knows exactly what we need, all-loving, wants to do exactly what's best for us, given our circumstance, and all-powerful, can do whatever, whenever. If we believe that to be true, which again, give me a better option than that, good luck, give me a better option of the source of our existence, then why would we not want to practice choosing faith over fear? And that, frankly, is how we're going to strengthen that relationship. By choosing, every time we choose faith, what it does is it instills and deepens that relationship we have with divinity, what to speak of with self. So these are some of the ways to not only understand the workings of faith versus fear, but frankly, how to change the narrative by starting with figuring out what belief you actually want to accept to be true, especially with the ones that are not empirical, are not necessarily verifiable. And plant the seeds that you actually want planted in your mind and change the story. Don't change your worth. Don't change your values. Just change the story. Plant the beliefs that you want in the fertile soil of the mind. And then watch the magic start to happen. All you have to do, once you've made these conscious decisions, is just to come back to it. It's just to flex that muscle over and over and over. And before you know it, the tendency to choose faith over fear will become your default. And whether that takes a year, 5 years, 50 years, it's okay. You'll be 50 years older in 50 years anyway. Might as well have this practice under your belt, especially if you understand the reality that you're eternal. Okay, what's a lifetime? If it takes a lifetime, so shall it be. You'll be a lifetime older in a lifetime. Anyway, practice choosing faith over fear. Now, as always, if you are like me and you like visual exercises to go with this and you want other people to explore these ideas with, just join our Conscious Success community where I have templates and frameworks that you can use with identifying these fears, figuring out what you're actually tolerating, what you don't need to be tolerating, what beliefs do you actually want to hold true, et cetera. We've got tons of exercises like these and frankly, so many more. All you have to do is join our Conscious Success community at the link in the show notes, in which case you'll get immediate access to everything. I'll personally reach out, make sure you get some personal steps, some custom steps as well. So try this on for size, explore our resources. I'm here to help in any way I can. And one of the things that's really helpful is if you enjoy this content, subscribe. I won't ask you of anything other than to subscribe and leave us a review. 5 stars if you appreciate it, if you like what we're doing here, because it's the most important thing that helps us to keep creating content like this and trying to share, bringing on expert guests so that we can share concepts and content and topics and ideas that actually will provide some transformation in your life. So the only thing I'll ever ask you for is please just subscribe, drop us a 5 stars. It won't take you more than about 13 and a half seconds to do all of that. And frankly, it means the world to me. It makes me feel so excited. I wish I could just reach to the screen and give you a big old squeeze and a kiss on the top of your head with the amount of gratitude I have for your willingness to support this podcast, which is just a beautiful opportunity for us to bring beautiful, intelligent, bright souls on to share topics like the ones we're talking about today, and frankly, a lot more. See you on the next one. And as always, my friends, keep it conscious.